All right, let's stick to the subject of transportation here for a couple more minutes and talk more about public transit, because as you may have heard, the MBTA plans to go cashless by the year 2020. You'll need an app on your phone or use a Charlie card or a tappable credit card to ride when the new digital payment systems arrive. And for those of you not using things such as, say, Apple Pay, this could be the gateway to a cashless society, according to Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe, and he joins us now. Hello, Hiawatha.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. I don't know. Do you have to drive to get to work? Is this common?
No. In case you hadn't heard, the Boston Globe has moved to an exciting new location in the heart of downtown Boston. Yes, and I take the subway.
Okay, good. So you're not going to be
absolutely.
You're not going to feel our pain here that we're having here at WBUR.
Not in the least. Ooh. I'm going to sit back and watch with pleasure as you suffer.
So you're taking the subway now, which is why all of a sudden all these people at the Boston Globe are really interested in public transit. Hooray!
Notice that.
Oh, there's a lot more tea articles in the paper.
Absolutely. Now it's news. Yeah.
Sorry, I could not help myself on that. But let's talk about.
You're right. You're not lying.
So let's talk about a cashless MBTA by the year 2020. Why are you so confident that this could usher an era of a cashless society for those people who haven't switched over yet?
Well, it will cause a cashless society by itself, but we have seen something like that happen in Britain. Starting in 2012, they stopped allowing people to use cash on buses, and they started moving to a number of alternatives. They didn't have Apple Pay yet, but what they were also introducing was something that actually it's not a new invention, but it's almost non-existent in America, contactless credit cards. They're called Wave and Go or Tap and Go credit cards. This is a credit card where you just walk up to the terminal and you just tap it. And you can instantly pay for anything. No PIN, no nothing. There's a limit of usually around 20 or 30 bucks. So if somebody steals it, there's a limit to how much they can spend. But these have become popular all over the world. And this is one of the reasons why. Hardly anybody used them in Britain, even though they were available, in 2012. Then they become a standard feature for getting onto the subway. And suddenly, people start using them. Today, in Britain, one out of every five credit card payment is used this way. You take out the card, you just tap it, and you go. It's become a standard way of doing things. And people use these, of course, to make small purchases, the kind of thing they used to once use cash for. Instead, now they're whipping out a card, they're tapping it, and they're going. I think that when you put this in public transport and people do it every single day, they start using these things. And that's going to push us a little bit further toward a cashless world.
Now, how is this different from the Charlie card system we've got here?
Well, it isn't hugely different, except you can use this card for everything else, too. That's what I'm getting at.
I see.
With a Charlie card, you have to charge it up. For example, we at the Globe have a thing where we automatically get a monthly pass every month. It's just taken out of our paychecks. But most people have to go to a vending machine, which is usually located in a T station, to charge it up. And that has caused all kinds of problems. I give you an example in the story. 7% of the people who ride buses in this town still pay cash. The buses still take money. And what they do is they get on the bus and they use the bus to charge their card. They put $10 on their card while everybody is standing behind them waiting to get on the bus. If you had tappable credit cards, you wouldn't have to do that. If you had Apple Pay, you wouldn't have to do that. And that's what this is a move toward. It's supposed to make the entire transit system move a lot faster.
I have been in those lines before, and I'm the one who had to like slide in the cash in the machine and then press the white button and then put my card on and then press the white button again and then tap again. And yes.
And it's all your fault.
And inevitably now, it's raining, so people get even more angry.
Yep. The T knows that people are going to keep using cash. They're going to put more vending machines in places all over the city, so you won't have to go to a red line or a blue line terminal to charge up your card. There are going to be lots more places to do it. But they also hope that people will start using these tappable credit cards. The flip side is the banks are going to have to start issuing them.
Right.
And they haven't up to now because there's been no place to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, suddenly, there's a reason for banks to issue these cards. And they cost maybe a little bit more than standard credit cards, but we are expecting to see that happen because the same terminals that are now letting people do things like Apple Pay when they go to the store, most of those terminals also take tappable credit cards. So the banks now have an incentive to start issuing those cards. And so little by little, we're going to start moving to a world where even if you're buying something for just a dollar or two, you're just going to walk up and do what they do in Britain and Australia and many other countries. Take out your card, just go tap, There you go. There's your $1 purchase.
But isn't there always going to be a not insubstantial minimum of people who want to use cash for these small purposes? And so, I mean, one's saying cash is going to go away here.
Oh, nobody thinks cash is going to completely go away. And yes, there are going to be people who are going to use cash for those purposes. But little by little, I think that's going to dwindle. I wonder if the $1 bill is going to head in the direction of the penny. I don't know. As long as there are homeless people, that's nothing to worry about. Because when you walk through downtown Boston, you're handing out $1 bills all the time. But no, cashlessness is not going to be total. But we're going to get to the point where I know I go through an entire week where I will have like $20 in my pocket and never touch it, because everything I encounter I can do with plastic or I can do with my iPhone. And I think you're going to see more and more people living that way once they are given a good reason. And this move in public transportation is a good reason.
Well, so users might adopt it, riders might adopt it, but when it comes to the other end of things, you already talked about sort of the what's inhibiting banks from doing it, but what about smaller shops? So, I mean, you point out that Apple Pay hasn't really taken off as much as it might have because, you know, mom and pop stores have to buy the hardware to receive the Apple payments, and that's kind of an inhibitor.
Yeah, it is. And that's a fair point. It is going to inhibit the speed with which this is spreading. The last figure I saw said that only about 36% of American merchants are now fully Apple Pay compatible. That's a fair point. And that's going to slow this down, because if you have a small retail store, you may not be able to spend the kind of money that it's going to take for you to transition. But, I mean, these things, as with all electronic devices, they are going to get cheaper.
Yeah.
And plus, there's the fact that, I don't know, many people haven't used them yet. But
right.
One of the advantages of something like an Apple Pay, have you used those credit card readers where you have to shove it in with the chip and
wait
for
every day.
To complete the...
All the time.
Apple Pay is it's much faster. It's almost as fast as swiping. And that's why I actually use it, because I don't have to sit around waiting for it to read the chip. I just take it, put my phone on it, bing, it works.
Honestly, Hiawatha, for me, we're talking about a difference of like 30 seconds. It's not going to, it doesn't end my life to have to wait this additional 30 seconds
for
the card.
But a lot of people, including me, find it frustrating, and I've got a device in my pocket so I don't have to do it. Why should I do it?
I'm running over time here, but there's one more thing I want to ask you. And that is one of the reasons why I will never fully let go of cash. I don't want people tracking all my purchases all the time and where I go and what I do. I mean, like, inevitably someone's going to take that cashless transaction information and sell it to somebody else. And, well, I guess I talk about it on the air, so it's not secret.
No.
And they'll find out, like, how many dozens of hot chocolates I buy every month.
You're absolutely right, and I don't disagree with you. I don't want to live in a totally cashless society either, because there are times I would like to have some privacy in what I'm doing with money. I agree with you. I don't want it to be completely cashless. I think we're going to get pretty close, though, because it's so convenient, it's almost irresistible. There are things where I have the cash, and I just say, what the heck, I'll use my Apple Pay. So I do that all the time.
The convenience versus privacy conundrum never ends.
There you go.
Hiawatha
Brave. They got us coming and going.
Tech writer for the Boston Globe. He joins us regularly on Radio Boston to talk tech. We've got a link to his latest column at radioboston.org. Hiawatha, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.